Before I was working for GBM, I was a pastor. And when I was a pastor, we embarked on a large rebuilding program. We had to evacuate our building for over 6 months. And this building project was a project full of joy and frustration. Joy in seeing the work go on. You went past the church building and it looked so different, even from day one when the demolition took place. There was this great work in progress, all those good changes occurring. One deacon kept us up to date with pictures that were on Facebook and were sent to us who didn't use that particular way of communication. But there wasn't just joy, there was frustration. There were those difficulties. It began so well. It was warm and dry in the early part of the autumn, and progress was fantastic. We all thought we were going to finish early. And then there was the wettest November and the coldest December on record. We finished late. It was frustration because we were a church without a home. It was great frustration. Where could we meet on Sundays? Will it be warm where we meet? Will anyone turn up? For the departments of the church, there were real struggles. We calculated that we met in 8 different buildings and had services at 6 different times throughout that particular time. Chaos. But the building kept going, and finally we moved into the new building where the church is worshipping even tonight. What joy there was when it was finished. And during that time, not surprisingly, Psalm 127, verse 1, became very appropriate for us as a church. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. But you know, that's not referring to a construction project, but is rather God's work of the gospel, of building the church, as we would think in the New Testament terms, where Jesus says, I will build my church. And in this theme that we have here and we see in Jesus' words, there are many encouragements and challenges for us in the work of mission, the work of mission that we are involved in as individual Christians, that we're involved in as a church, and that we'll be involved in a worldwide situation. Let's start by turning to Psalm 127, but also keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 1. That would be really helpful. 3 things beginning with D. 3 realities this morning, 3 D's this evening. The first, we are to be different. The Christian is to be different from the common views and beliefs of the society that we live in. The attitude of our world is very different from this. The attitude of our world is that people who are admired and respected are the go-getters, the entrepreneurs, the self-made, the apprentice with Lord Sugar. The big boasts come with those who want to get on that program, and they say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've set up my own company. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. In fact, I already am a millionaire. When I was 5, I was selling things in the playground and making money. It's all there and it impresses. It's your talent that counts. Secret to success. And then we have Britain's Got Talent. It's great talent. It's your talent. And you are very talented. And you're going to show your talents. And it is admired. And it is viewed as successful and aspirational. That is what counts. Well, what we read here flies in the face of that common view. It says, unless the Lord builds. Unless the Lord does it. Unless it is the Lord, and you see it again and again in these verses. It's not your success or your work or your building of your life. In fact, the truth found here is that if you don't take this into account, that you're doing all these other activities, you will actually be doing it in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It's pointless. It's wasted effort. So Christians, you and me, if you're a Christian, are called to be different from the world. Different. While the world says you can do it, the Bible actually tends to say quite the opposite. You can't do it. As you go through school and as you go into university, the theme is, yes, you can do it. Work hard enough and you can. Do you see the astronaut Tim Peake? Was it this week. I've lost track of the weeks, and I think it was this week when he came down to earth. And he was really inspirational. And I saw the children where he went to primary school watching it all on television. It must have been fantastic for them. And he said, I, you know, came out of school with not very many great qualifications, low A levels. But look at me now, you can do it. I'm not sure if that actually is particularly encouraging for teachers, that bit, but I understand what he is saying. You can do it. But here we read the opposite. Unless the Lord builds the house. So we're getting this pressure from the world, and some of it's good. Yeah, you know, work hard at school. You know, that's a really good thing. But look what we see here. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord is in it. You see, this is a different radical discipleship that the Christian is called to. It collides with the prevalent view of this world. In mission, what is our mission, our aim? Well, it is to seek to make and grow disciples. The end product of any type of witnessing, evangelism, mission in the locality, in the church, local, or in the work of mission worldwide, is the end product that there are disciples of Jesus Christ who are going and making more disciples. And there is something different about these disciples. The disciple doesn't follow the crowd, doesn't go along with the world, but goes a different way. They are different. They are God-focused. They have values and the character of Christ. The disciple daily makes the decision to be different, not to be pushed along by a current fad or fashion, but to go the way of Jesus. Their aim is that the Lord is in every part of their lives and is building their lives. Is that your aim? The disciple's aim is to have their lives filled with that focus upon God, upon the Lord. What a contrast with the world that is. We're just saying, you do it. Well, we're saying our eyes are upon the Lord. He is the one who is going to work. And what a witness that is. What about those who are in the work of mission, either here in the UK or further afield? Very often these are men and women who know the call of God, have had training, who have gifting, who are serving, who are working, who are building. But you know, they face a great temptation. A temptation that comes, and it can come to actually any leader that we need to pray for, any Christian worker, to think it is my work or my efforts. No, it is the Lord. The only way of success, if we can put it that way, is when we know that it's the Lord building the house. The Lord who is building His church, the Lord who is doing this work. First, we are to be different. You're probably guessing what's coming next. The next D, we are to be dependent. Dependent from being different to being dependent. We face choices, and these are tough choices each day that we face. To choose to go the Lord's way and not to go the world's way. To have the Lord's thinking, biblical thinking, and not the world's thinking. And in this, we have a dependence on God. Now, how does this work out when we have many different gifts? There are many things that we can do and many things we can't do. Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you probably are pretty good at doing some of those Christ-focused things that you've been encouraged to do even as you became a Christian. To read the Bible. To pray. To witness, to stand firm, to follow the Lord. And the temptation is that we say to ourselves, I can do those things, I am doing them. But the Bible comes and gives us a challenge. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. The NIV puts it this way, you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You think you're doing okay, but watch out. Are you trusting and resting in what you are doing, or are you having your eyes on the Lord? A while back, I wrote to all our GBM missionaries. I do it from time to time just to communicate, just to let everyone know what everyone else is doing, to build that sense of fellowship when they are spread across the world. And I was sharing that verse with them. And I was sharing the fact that we must watch our lives carefully. And I was writing that in not in the sense of lecturing them, but my own personal experience and what I'd heard from someone who had been preaching a while back. It seemed a very timely reminder, because one wrote back to me, one of our missionaries, thanking me and saying how timely and important it was to be reminded of these things, to be totally dependent on the Lord, so that we watch our life and our walk with him. You see, our experience can make us self-confident. I can do this. Perhaps in some way in church life, you've preached many sermons, you've led many meetings, you've spent many years teaching the children, doing some activity in church life. It's no big deal. I can do this. Look at my track record. Look at all those years. God's word comes and says, watch out. Our pride can make us self-confident. I can do this. It's easy to walk with God. The sin factor, sin that is still something that we struggle with, makes us become less than dependent. Sin always wants to make I the center of your life. That's what sin essentially is all about. You ruling, you reigning, you doing it. Well, the challenge of God's word here is that we are dependent on him. In the work of mission, personal witness, whether it's church-based or abroad, there's lots of activity, isn't there? Perhaps you're planning some action or activity in mission. The planning, the preparing, the inviting, the publicizing, the speaking, all is in hand. But how will you depend? How will you show that dependence? How will we indeed show that it isn't my work, but it is the Lord who I'm depending on? Well, it's not by stopping the activity. It's not by doing nothing. You see, the text here in Psalm 127, verse 1, doesn't say don't labor or don't watch. It would be a very foolish builder who didn't labor, and it would be an even more foolish watchman who didn't watch, because the city would be overtaken. But it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You see, the danger is doing these things apart from God's, saying, I don't need you, Lord, or acting as if we don't. It's then that it's in vain. So the call is to show dependence. As we say we're going to live a different life as a disciple and we're going to go a different way from the world, we need to show this dependence. How do we show this dependence? How is it clear that this disciple, you, me, is depending on God in mission? Well, the answer is prayer. Prayer. Praying for the Lord to work. Praying for missionaries. What do you pray for missionaries? It can be hard, very hard to decide on that. But if we're thinking about the work of evangelism, don't we pray for them what we might be praying for ourselves, for God-given opportunities to witness? To be given the right words when those opportunities come, to be able to speak of Jesus. To bring along many so there will be a positive response. To save as you invite, that people will be converted. To help that seeker to become a Christian and to be a disciple, for God to build his church. And what's true of mission is true of all our work, from children's work to adult ministry to reaching those who are in their senior years. We want the Lord to work. And my walk with God, how can I follow? How can I know the Lord's guidance or be a witness unless he builds? And so I must depend on him. I must live my life every day in full and total dependence on him. And I do that by praying, by asking him, by seeking him, by saying, I can't, help me, Lord, you can. dependence on him. We're called to be different. We're called to be dependent. And we see this very clearly in our salvation, as it is revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's just turn there now. As thirdly, we see that we are to be decisive. Different, dependent, and decisive. Here's a maths equation from Psalm 127, verse 1. My work minus the Lord equals nothing. My work minus the Lord equals nothing. If the Lord is not in it, then it is nothing. Without the Lord, there is nothing. How sobering that is. How challenging that is. And we see that so clearly in salvation. Here is a conflict and a collision with the world's perspective. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. In India, we went to a Hindu temple. And what happens as people go into the Hindu temple is they ring the bell to wake the gods. They bring food in for the gods. They wash in holy water to be clean. Or the Buddhist. Do you see Prince William when he went to Bhutan? It was a few months ago, I think it was. And you saw him spinning some cylinders. And we were told that he was spinning the prayer cylinders. And that was prayer. Roman Catholicism. When we had the European conference that's mentioned in the magazine, we had the opportunity to have a tour in Padua. And we went to St. Anthony of Padua's Basilica. It really is quite an eye-opener when you see what is going on there. There were various relics. And people would go in and they would pray. And they would touch the tomb. They pray to St. Anthony. They seek him for help. And the UK, is it any different in what we face here? It's what you do. What does your work colleague or your friend think? Every time, it's your effort. Whether you're in India or you're in Bhutan or you're in Italy, in Padua mentioned, or in the UK, people think the same. Be sincere, be good. Or it might be how you've been born. There is no dependence other than self-dependence on your activity. And our equation earlier, of course, is completely wrong in the area of salvation. Because there is nothing to do with my work. It is all him. It is we preach Christ crucified. Unless the Lord builds, how can I have my sin forgiven? How can I know God? How can I be put right with God? It has to be God's way alone. Unless the Lord builds. If not, it is laboring in vain. If it is vain, it is wasted time, it is wasted activity, it is pointless. Salvation is God's way. Jesus is the way, and that is what is revealed to us in the cross as we read here in the scripture. It is by the power of the cross, by the simplicity of the cross. What does verse 21 say? God was pleased to save those who believe. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. The folly of the cross. We preach Christ crucified to allow others to hear this wonderful news of Jesus dying for sinners. It is so simple. We speak. That word preach is simply saying that we tell others. Sometimes it is in a formal setting like this. Sometimes it is with a missionary far away in a very different area. For most of us, it is as we go about our everyday lives, to your neighbour, to your family member, to your friends, to those at school, to those at work, to those in the shops, to those at university, to those who you meet with socially, to those in your leisure activity. As you live that different life, and as you depend on the Lord, you then decisively decide to indeed speak the gospel about Christ. And it's a great message. It's a great simple message. It's not saying what you do, but it's what the Lord has done for you. And in a few moments' time, that will become very evident as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But here is something I just want to end with. Missionaries are those who are seeking to share Christ. So pray especially for those who preach. Pray for Anthony and Roxy Green. They're in Simon Bolivar. And on Sundays, Anthony is going to be preaching in Via Magisterial, in a very dusty shanty town, to the really at the end of Arequipa. On Saturday mornings, about 6 o'clock in the morning, gathering a small group together as he speaks to them about Jesus. Peter Slomski in Poznan, facing many challenges and difficulties as he preaches. There are those who are church planting, and Jesus has made this wonderful promise, I will build my church. So Slavko and Alison in New Belgrade and James Hammond in Bordeaux that we thought about after lunch. For those sharing Christ through Bible study, James also with students in Bordeaux, and Paul and Solve in Kazakhstan, and us, as we seek to open God's word with people. You see, we need to be decisive. We need to see with clarity there is only one way to be saved, and it is through the cross and the proclamation of the cross. The call is for you and me to say we will give ourselves to mission and to God's work through the cross. Imagine for a moment that you employ a builder. You want to do something to your house. You want to improve it in some way or other. And you want this lovely new extension that's going to be great. And you get the builder to come along, draws up some plans. And he says, yeah, I'll be in on Monday and I'll start work. And he comes in on Monday and starts working. And when the weekend comes around, you have a wander around and you have a look at it. And you think, well, that's not very good. I know what I'll do. I shall just move that window and take that down, and I'll remove those bricks, and I'll take these bricks and start building them there. And Sunday evening, you're thinking, very good, that's great. And the builder comes along on Monday and looks at what you've done. Well, he might cope with it first time, but imagine that happened every week. We have a builder because we can't do that work. We depend on the builder. So here's our call to be different. The world says you can do it. No, we say we trust and rest in the Lord. We are dependent and we decisively focus in every way on this one way of salvation that we see in the cross of our Saviour. Amen.